All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1123 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, June 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And I've stepped it up one more time. So if everything holds tonight, if the bandwidth holds out, I'm live on Facebook, live on live stream, and live on YouTube. So for those of you who are listening, you could care less, but I want to give a very, very warm welcome to those of you who are watching live, and for those of you that are listening on demand via the podcast, all of you that are the part of the Ohana, everyone is. Welcome to the family. We got a great show lined up for you again. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, you're tuned in to the Geek News Central podcast. And if you're brand new to the show, if you're a brand new listener, we've got just a real simple way for you to get connected so that you'll never miss a single episode. All we need you to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, right there on the right-hand column, right at the top, you can subscribe on iTunes via Android, one of 12 or 13 different apps that support one-click subscribe on Android, by email via Google Play, on Stitcher, or go old school and just pick up a podcatcher and use an RSS feed. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, there's also an option there. It says more subscribe options where it gives you some instructions on how to get hooked up. A little further down the page, you see the link for the newsletter. The newsletter is essentially an email that I send out immediately following the show that contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight on the show with all the links. That way you'll have a quick, ready reference, and you'll want to keep that. But of course, those show notes will be exactly what's on the website at geeknewscentral.com as well. So again, visit the site to subscribe and get access to our daily content put together by our fantastic writers over there as well. Hey, if you want to reach out to me, it's real, real easy. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address that you need to use. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow on Google Plus, on Facebook, really, I'm at any place social. We're going to start using the facebook.com/Geek News page a lot more too. So I've made a commitment to updating that. So talking about that a little bit. But you can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel on the Apple TV. You can watch a show on blueberry.com. You can also listen via the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show. Again, listen on Stitcher. You can listen on Blueberry. Listen on your iPod, your tablet. Come to the website. We want you to really, there's no excuse. You can get access to the show multitudes of ways, whether you want to watch or listen. Of course, I want to take just a second here and talk about our partner shows. No better than Average, Health Tech Weekly, The Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear site, and of course, the New Media Show. And lots going on there. We want to thank our longtime sponsor here, GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been with Geek News Central now a very, very close to 11 years. It'll be next month. We'll celebrate our 11th year anniversary of having GoDaddy as a sponsor. And then very shortly thereafter, we'll have the 12th anniversary of this show in October. So amazing ride we've been on over the past 11 years plus, 12, you know, 11 and a half plus years at this point. But GoDaddy's been with us every step of the way, and they've been fantastic to me. I got my report in from my GoDaddy rep. I want to, again, I know it's already in the middle of June, but I want to thank all of you For your support in May, because just a little bit up on the numbers, which is great. Every little bit helps, you know, keeps the lights on here, keeps the family fed, keeps the insurance paid, gas in the car, and all that stuff that really is important. So, again, big thanks to GoDaddy. And for all of you looking for a deal, save some money. It's summertime. It's, you know, you're going to be spending a lot of time outside. But it's also a great time to be creative and you're having a little bit of relaxed time, maybe for some vacation, thinking about what you want to do for the coming year. Maybe you want to start blogging. Maybe you want to start a podcast. Maybe you want to revamp that business site. There's lots of opportunities. This is the peak season where people kind of go in and do that rebuilding and restructuring of their sites to pick up domains. And there's so many new top-level domains, you can find anything you want. Almost under any genre of a dot something. And I, of course, I've been picking up a lot of dot podcasts and a variety of those types of domains. But definitely get over to my GoDaddy promotion page. Again, that is at thegeekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. And when you're over there, you're going to find all the links to all the specials that are ongoing. The 30% off code, the 99cent.com. So we've got the dollar a month for the first 12 months, specials on hosting, whether it be website builder, economy hosting, or managed WordPress, all those offers come with a free domain name. And of course, world-class support over there as well. I want to remind you folks, and this, it doesn't happen very often anymore, but many of you have used my codes for many, many years. If you run into a problem ever, I want you to email me because I have a direct line up the food chain there and I can usually get stuff resolved when sometimes maybe you hit a brick wall. Luckily, we haven't had an email like that in a long time, couple of years. But if you run into any trouble, just let me know. But GoDaddy's been fantastic for me, supporting my infrastructure, domain names, you name it. And I'm a little bit of a domain junkie. I think 376 is the current count. You do the math on that. That's a nice chunk of change for renewal fees every year. But definitely check all the codes out again. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy again for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And check them out. Lots of things going on there. Lots of business changes. Matter of fact, they're in the news today. Announcement that they made with Google. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. As tradition dictates here on the show, you got just a few minutes to just chit chat with you guys just a little bit. And I think I'm remiss. I think I have not shared with you folks a big life event. I apologize, but my daughter got engaged, and my Natalie, my oldest daughter, who lives in Florida, in Tampa. I don't know how, if I just got to thinking about today, did I say anything on the show when I got back or not? Her prospective fiance at the time had called me when I was in Texas. We had a nice chat. I gave him some advice, gave him a threat, talked a little bit about finance, and of course gave him permission. And just a really nice guy. Even my sister, who is very critical, she had met him in person while they were in Florida just a month or so ago for when they went down to Disneyland and did some stuff down there, and they had dinner with him. And my sister even gave the thumbs up, which is that's impressive in itself. She doesn't sign off on anybody, and talked, and it was nice. And of course, when they were in Germany, he proposed, and was all over Facebook, and I was reposting. But if I didn't talk about it, pretty exciting news. I've talked with Natalie this past weekend after they've gotten back, after they went to Italy next, and basically all over the place. Greece, I think they were at as well. But just talked about kind of some plans. So looks like she's going to 12 to 18 months probably for an engagement time, which I was kind of maybe expecting it would be sooner, but good for her. She's got time to plan her wedding and do the things she wants to do. So that'll be forthcoming. So I'm sure we will be talking about that as Ohana here a lot more as the time draws near, going through that process and helping her as much as possible. But it'll be very happy times, and hopefully everything stays on track. But very, very happy for her, and couldn't have asked for a prospective brother-in-law, or son-in-law. So we'll see what happens here. But anyway, we'll keep our fingers crossed. I've got a couple of sick Mac Pros here. I've had one that I know I need to rebuild. It's on my list this weekend to rebuild. It's time. It's got, you know, it's just got issues. So it's time just to gut it, get everybody's stuff off and rebuild it. And that's on my weekend to-do list. But I've had another Mac Pro, one of my older 17-inch ones that hasn't been wanting to connect to Wi-Fi. So I've done some things. I rebuild it. It came up. I got it all set up. It was again connecting to Wi-Fi. So I'm like, aha, nothing's wrong with hardware. It locked right in. It was good. Went through a couple more updates and Wi-Fi is no longer working on the thing. So has anyone with a MacBook Pro had the Wi-Fi just quit and no longer work? I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of done messing with it, but my youngest son has been using it a lot, and it's kind of a pain, no Wi-Fi, so he has to find a place to plug in. I've been kind of searching around the internet, but if any of you've had an issue or had a MacBook before that would not connect to Wi-Fi, but it wasn't hardware, maybe I've got intermittent hardware, who knows? But it's too old to take it in to get it repaired and all that stuff. So I'm just maybe at this point, you know, I've got a newer MacBook here that basically has got all my stuff on it. And I don't want to swap out because I've got this one on a wired connection. And so I don't know what I'm going to do. But if any of you've had a MacBook that wouldn't connect to Wi-Fi, please let me know. Lots of things going on for me. It's just busy. You know, it's burning the midnight oil right now. We are in crunch time getting ready to head out for Podcast Movement 2016, which is in Chicago, the 6th, 7th, 8th of July. And it's just, I've got some really cool stuff coming. And we're really, as always, coding against the wire. Thought we were going to have something ready to release yesterday or today. It didn't quite make it today, so I'm hoping tomorrow. There's a lot of pressure on my programming team, and I'm kind of now like, you know, giving them the push, and not necessarily in a smiling way. It's, you know, it's more like shoving and, let's go. And we're getting all the press releases ready. And two of my three announcements are 99% there. The one thing I really want to be able to announce is something that really was kind of something that came up. I can't talk about it, but it came up really kind of about a week and a half ago. And we had this I talked a little bit about on the show before. We had this, you know, everyone kind of got on the same page and kind of figured it out. So excited about that. So more to come and more to share. There was an article yesterday came out was talking about the top 22 most influential people in the podcasting space. I made the list, but man, there was a bunch of people mad because it was 20 guys, 2 ladies, and the folks that released it. Everyone that was on the list was relatively well known and doing a lot of great things, but there's so many people doing a lot of great things that some ladies got, felt like there was people that should have been on the list that weren't. Into minorities as well. So it really kind of blew up, and they took the post down today. But one thing I did get out of it was they had wrote a heck of a good bio for me. So I quite admittedly have plagiarized a little bit. I've changed it up, but they did a really nice job, and I was able to rework it into a bio. So if you go to the About page on Geek News Central, you'll see my new bio. It's not quite done because you got to add some other stuff into it too, but I was like, that was awesome. Whoever was writing those write-ups on people, they should be a biography writer. It was perfect. It really, really was. Day before yesterday, I'm very happy. My son finally passed his driving test. I think he went 6 times. And finally, I've got 4 licensed drivers in the house. Of course, the 12-year-old's got a ways to go. So we're that much further down the road. And a good thing about Hawaii, until the kids screw up, your insurance doesn't go up. Now, my son did have a little fender bender while on his permit, so I'm looking forward to seeing what my insurance rates are going to be when I get my insurance policy next month. Hopefully I do get an insurance policy next month, but that's to be seen yet. We will find out if they're still going to renew me or if I'm going to have to go find new insurance. Podcast Award Ceremony Planning is going to be hot and heavy this coming weekend. It's a week from Sunday, the 26th, we'll be doing the podcast awards, and I found an MC, so working with him, and we're coming up with the script. It's going to be, you want to see two thumbs, it's going to be me trying to organize everything here. It's going to be nuts, trying to bring people in Skype and everything else, so it'll be an entertaining award ceremony, if nothing else. But that's it. That's what's going on. And we'll get into the tech here now. And but I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Those of you that are watching, oh boy, I think everybody's in bed on Facebook. Let's see, how are we doing on YouTube? Let's look over there. Oh, not bad. All right, cool. So everyone, welcome. And I am watching the Facebook feed tonight, so that's something new. So if you make a comment, I should see it in there. It looks like all the bandwidth is holding up, so it must be my neighbors aren't doing anything crazy. Okay, let's close this and open up the stack. First and foremost, let's chit-chat about a big hack. The Russians have, of course, all suspicions are it's actually the Russian government. But a Russian, purportedly a Russian, released the motherlode from the Democratic National Committee. He hacked the DNC's servers, apparently stole thousands of documents, got email, you name it, got the motherlode, got like the profile playbook on Trump. I mean, it was just, and I was looking yesterday at some of the documents. And if you think about that for a second, one of the, you know, if it was if RNC or the DNC, you know, two of the most absolute, most powerful political wings in the entire world, that's subject to opinion, obviously, depending on where you live. And the server got hacked and stuff was downloaded and accessed. To me, that is incredible. You would think that that organization would have had lock, stock, hardcore security within their systems. And apparently it really wasn't that hard from everything that's being said for this guy to get in or this gal. And, but the DNC, a lot of egg on their face here. Maybe they should go out to Silicon Valley and hire some of the hotshot security firms to lock up their stuff. You know, I think all of us, you know, even I, we have a lot of internal documents at Raw Voice that I would not necessarily want in the public eye, stuff that we've planned, stuff that strategy documents, all that kind of stuff. You know, and I'm pretty public about what we do, and I try to, you know, be pretty open, but there's certain things that we, you know, keep close to chest. And I just, it, you know, to have your life spilled out for the public to see is, it'd be pretty embarrassing. And you know, no one is really exempt from this type of an hack. You know, if someone comes after you in such a big way, they're going to find a way in, and then your life is going to be spread out in front of everyone. It is kind of a scary thing to think what has happened here. So we will see what documents they release, what kind of juicy things. I'm sure that probably the folks over there at the RNC were, you know, licking their chops. Can't wait to get a hold of some of those policy documents and strategy documents. They're going to need a lot of help. So who knows, you know. Yeah, big hack over at the DNC. And the Russians, really did a number on him. A 20-year-old Estonian, talking about hacking, has pled guilty to stealing data on more than 1,300 U.S. military and government personnel and providing that to ISIS. So this gentleman, I don't think we want to even call him that, this individual, his goal was to incite terrorist attacks, the U.S. Department of Justice said on Wednesday. So he led a hacking group called Kosovo Hacker Security, or KHS, which claims to deface over 20,000 websites. And last June, he hacked into a U.S. internet hosting company to steal personnel data, which included addresses, telephone numbers, and email logins. But the DOJ has pled guilty to this. And I didn't know that they were able to extradite him. But long story short here is this guy is facing a number of years in prison now because of this. He was arrested in Malaysia, extradited to the U.S., and again, he faces a maximum of 25 years. The DOJ called it a case of first of its kind. And of course, we know that last year they jailed a 17-year-old from Virginia using Twitter to provide financial support and recruitment to ISIS. So they're doing their job. It's just too bad that they didn't get this other guy that did this mayhem in Orlando. And for those of you that only listened to the first portion of the show, I know a number of you do. I talked about the Orlando stuff a little bit later in the last show. It wasn't on the top of my list, unfortunately. But we'll see where this all leads. But keep your heads on a swivel out there, folks. When you're out having dinner, you always have an alternate exit route besides the front door that you come in. You know, just keep an eye on things. And if you're in the public, just be aware of your surroundings. Don't have your head buried in your phone all the time. That just can lead to trouble, especially in the times that we're in. The FBI Next Generation Facial Recognition System has access to 70 million photos. Now, it's actually more than that. Turns out the feds can sift through tons of more images. The U.S. Government Accounting Office has discovered that the FBI actually has access to 411.9 million pictures of Americans and foreigners alike, most of whom have no prior criminal record. It's called FACE. FACE is basically part of the NGI collection, as well as biometric database ran by the Department of Justice and 16 different states. It can also search the State Department's passport and visa application records for possible matches as well. The FF pointed out that the unprecedented number of photographs isn't the only problem. GAO's report said also that the FBI didn't test its system thoroughly for accuracy. It has done little to make sure that its search results do not include photos of innocent people. The nonprofit org wrote in a post, since facial recognition technologies aren't perfect and still has issues recognizing people of color, FACE could return results that law-abiding people in the mix when law enforcement agencies use the system to search for suspects. So I think we all know, based on what Facebook can do, you know, Facebook's pretty good at facial recognition. And if they're good, then how good is the FBI? I would assume very good. And of course, in Europe, face recognition has been used a great deal for a lot of years because of the nanny state, because of the number of cameras they have on the streets of the UK. Switching up just a little bit here, Google and GoDaddy have signed an anti-piracy pledge. Now, this is interesting. They promise to do their best to ensure that their advertisements are not promoted on pirate sites. Two prominent tech companies have signed the anti-piracy pledge of the Trustworthy Accountability Group, a relative new group that aims to cut funding to pirate sites. Now, it's called TAG, helps facilitate those efforts and coordinates this advertise-oriented anti-piracy program, has already signed up several large companies. So basically the pledge is this, and this has, you know, basically really nothing to do with our privacy, but the underside advertiser and or agency pledges to take commercially reasonable steps to minimize the inadvertent placement of digital advertising on websites or other media properties that have an undesired risk of being associated with the unauthorized dissemination of materials protected by copyright laws and or illegal dissemination of counterfeit goods. We will fulfill this pledge in a manner consistent with the core criteria for effective digital advertising assurance of the Trustworthy Accountability Group brand integrity program against piracy, which may include direct employing the services of validated digital audio assurance providers, directly employing advertising placement services that carry TAG logo, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So basically, they're not going. It's an anti-piracy pledge. I apologize. I thought I said privacy pledge in the beginning of the show. But they don't want, they basically agreed they're not going to put ads on anti-piracy sites. Well, good. I wish they would remove their some of their stuff from some of the coupon sites. How many of you got a Domino's pizza yesterday or on Tuesday? I was talking with a gent. I didn't even know this, but apparently they had T-Mobile Tuesdays where people were getting free stuff. Domino's was vendor on Tuesday. Well, Domino's will no longer give free pizzas on T-Mobile Tuesdays. Apparently, a lot of people ordered Domino's pizza on T-Mobile Tuesday, so much so that people were turned away nationwide. So franchises had a very bad night. Lots of money went out the door, unpaid for free pies to T-Mobile customers. So if you were getting a free pie every Tuesday with T-Mobile, Domino's has suspended that. Never fear, though. T-Mobile's working to give subscribers unlimited free Facebook video streaming. So, you know, they've got that binge on feature. And I've got a friend who's just switched all his kids and everything over to T-Mobile. His phone, give you an example. He says, we're watching YouTube, we're watching this, we're watching that. And he's, you know, he's bragging to me, we're streaming Pandora. And it's not to cost me anything on the data plan, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he says, I'm already the third day into my month, and it's already shown 800 megs of usage, but T-Mobile website has only shown that I've only used 100 megs because the 700 was on the free binge on. So how many of you are using T-Mobile's binge on? How's your service with T-Mobile? You know, my wife and I used to have T-Mobile for many, many years. We're all on Verizon right now, but they keep sweetening the deal here. T-Mobile may be in our playbook moving forward, but how many of you out there are using T-Mobile? Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, send me a comment. Let's talk just a little bit about science stuff, and this one's a little bit over my head. For those of you that are brainiacs out there and are following some of this stuff, there's a scientist from the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, something called LIGO, L-I-G-O, have detected another gravitational wave anomaly. I say that right? So apparently, like 140 million years ago or some ridiculous, no, 1.5 billion years ago, two black holes, and how they figure this stuff out is like, out there. So 1.5 billion years ago, two black holes collided into each other. And today, this LIGO detector was able to determine that when that collision happened, it was basically like the whole universe shook. If you take a bowl of Jell-O and shake it and see those ripples, they say this is similar to what happened when two black holes came together. So I guess this sensor, it took all this time for that gravitational wave to come to Earth. And when it did, they happened to have this up and running and were able to see this blip on basically the fabric of space changing. Now, okay, whoever thought this stuff up was out there. But they've had three different readings of this, of different events. I don't think they're able to really say it was that one over there, but maybe they can. I don't know. But very deep stuff in the science space. So I guess when two black holes collide, it's enough to shake the universe. That's pretty significant. Guys, here we got a new moon. It's a quasi-new moon. Astronomers detected a small asteroid that doesn't seem to want to go away. Again, it's called a quasi-satellite. This new companion circles around the Earth as it orbits the sun. And it's going to stay that way for the next few hundred years. Technically speaking, this newly discovered asteroid, dubbed 2016 HO3, is in orbit around the sun. But as it makes its annual trek, it is also circling around the Earth. It's far too distant to be considered a true natural satellite of our planet, but it's a good example of a quasi-satellite or near-Earth companion. Not very big. It measures somewhere between 120 to 300 feet across, and it never ventures too far from Earth. It orbits the sun. How does that happen? if you really think about it, you're like, okay. It's in a tilted orbit, which causes it to weave up and down on the orbital plane, just like a bop on choppy waters. So we'll see. Earth's gravity is strong enough to ensure that its new companion doesn't venture too far or too close. It's about 38 times the distance of the moon, or about 9 million miles. Oh, man. So we have a quasi moon, folks. Very, very cool. Hey, this show has been around so long that we've been able to talk about things that happen. Let's say, for example, if something happened today, we can expect to be talking about it in 3 or 4 years if it's a NASA event. Well, remember we talked about Juno back in 2011, the Juno probe blast off. We covered it here on the show. And this probe is now on its final approach to Jupiter. And on the 4th of July, just as Independence Day is being released in the theaters across the United States, which we're all going to go see, right? This probe will have a 35-minute critical insertion burn. If that insertion burn does not happen, this probe is just, this 1.1 billion, yes, with a B, probe is just going to kind of slide on by and keep on trucking. So what their plan is, they're going to be in orbit around Jupiter, and it's just going to kind of hang out there for a couple of years, and they're going to do 53, they're going to have a 53-day orbit, and over the course of the next couple of years, they're going to be studying Jupiter. Now, because there's so much radiation coming off Jupiter, this thing is like heavy. The computer and all the sensors are in like this titanium core. Otherwise, I guess it gets cooked off. Seems pretty serious here. But sometime in 2018, they are going to do another burn, and they are going to purposely splash this thing directly into Jupiter. The reason being is that they don't want to contaminate any of the moons that surround Jupiter. So they, in February of 18, they're going to do a death dive into Jupiter. And So to make sure that the Juno probe never contaminates any potentially life-supporting worlds. So up for an event on the 4th of July for that particular probe. For those of you that are, you know, I've been looking for I told you guys I was looking for a video card for my computer here. I need a little more oomph underneath the hood on that. I haven't decided anything. But in the meantime, I've been doing a lot more reading on current motherboards, stuff that's happening in the space I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to, because for many years I've just been buying my machines. I buy Dell desktops, laptops. I haven't been building any machines recently. So I've been reading a lot more on cards and video cards and motherboards and stuff recently. But there's an article over on techpowerup.com, and I've never been on this site before. This is the first time I'm here. MSI and ASUS have been sending this particular group review samples for the graphic cards that have had higher clock speeds out of the box than what consumers get out of the box. The cards Tech PowerUp has been receiving run at a higher software-defined clock speed profile than what consumers are receiving. Consumers have access to the higher clock speed profile too, but only if they install a custom app by the companies and enable that profile. So they are not happy that they feel that this is not 100% representative of retail cards and is a questionable tactic by the two companies. They said that the BIOS tweaking could also open the door to more elaborate changes like a quieter fan profile or different power management. So they've been sending these cards to reviewers just really cranked up. And then the cards that you buy are at these lower settings. So when a site reviews a particular card or chipset or something like that, they're finding that they aren't performing as well. Good catch by Tech PowerUp. I'll be very honest with you. That makes you go, just a lot. Most of the stuff I get here for review, and I'll be quite frank with you, is still in the wrapper. You know, it is still got the plastic sheath on. It is struck from the factory. From everything I can tell, nothing has been tampered with. But it gives me pause now. I'm going to be doing a lot more closer examination of this type of stuff that comes in here to make sure that we're getting what you're getting. Because if I'm reviewing something, I'm giving my endorsement, I expect when you order it that you're going to get the same thing. So keep you advised on that, okay? Many of you have an Amazon Echo. I absolutely love my Echo. I have a full-size Echo in the living room. I have a Dot in my bedroom. Here's my typical evening routine with Alexa in my bedroom. I say, Alexa, set the alarm clock for 4:30 a.m. And Alexa responds. Then I say, Alexa, play jazz. And she'll say, okay, we're going to play jazz primetime music. Then I say, Alexa, stop playing music in 20 minutes. And Alexa will say, okay, I'll stop playing music in 20 minutes. That is kind of like a routine, and it's kind of weird. My wife thinks it's bizarre. But basically, you know, I'm getting ready to crash. I get to listen to a little jazz down low. It automatically shuts off in 15 or 20 minutes. And then at 4:30 in the morning, Alexa wakes me up, plays some music, gets me out of bed. So Alexa's got a lot more features than that. So there's a good article, 40 New Tricks for Your Amazon Echo. And I can't have an Amazon Echo here in the studio, because every time I do the show, when I was doing the show, it was like lighting up and trying to do stuff because it heard me talking. So you can call a cab. You can cash in on daily deals. If you have a Nest smart thermostat, you can change the temperature. You can control your smart things. You can check the air quality by your zip code. You can check your bank account balance if it's tied to your Capital One account. You can find decent movies. You can find local events. You can find the distance between two places. You can get product reviews. You can hear this show. You can hear your horoscope, improve your spelling. You can know the tide times. Get a surf report if you're in Hawaii. You can locate family and friends if you're tied in with Glimpse, the Glimpse app. You can ask it how to mix a cocktail. So if you want to say, how do you make a Bloody Mary? It'll give you the instructions. You can order a Domino's pizza. You can even play games. You can even get a Scout alarm and protect your property with it. Search for flights. If you live in the city where there's a subway, you can check on the subway schedule, how it's running. Start a workout. Track your eating. Translate words and phrases. This is a cool one for Hawaii. Tune your ukulele. Or water the garden. So lots of just things that are being tied in to the Alexa API. Amazon is onto something big here, folks. They really, really are. Now, I saw something today. I was never really a Roomba fan, per se. But Makita has a RoboVac that uses power tool batteries to clean workshop floors for hours. So, guys, those of you that have a workshop or have a garage, this thing is cool. Now, this is coming up on Father's Day here, right? So, ladies, you may want to consider one of these for your husband, for his garage. Okay. And, it runs a big battery and, picks up, it's quite the cleaning little robot. I don't know how it would do in the house. It might be a little too rough on your floors there, but this thing's got a scrubber and a typical vacuum type of spinner, and it walks around the room, and it'll go a while because it uses 18-volt battery from the Makita. So this thing is the real deal here. Now, price wise, don't know what. it's not cheap. It's $800. So, and for a short term, it's only available in Japan, so you have to wait a little while. Maybe this will be a Christmas present, but this is awesome. Oh, absolutely awesome. My garage is a playroom for the kids. Hey, did a review on the, that's a bunch of stuff Dell sent me, their review. I sent that review on that Dell Thunderbolt TB15 dock. And I cannot find it anywhere on the Dell website. Something's up. It's either out of stock or they've had trouble with it. I didn't have any trouble with mine, but I put the review up anyway. And I also talked about the Sonnet Fusion Thunderbolt 3 PCI drive that I was using with it. So anyway, if I don't know when this is going to be available again. I will definitely, did I even bring that up? Duh, I had the page loaded. And I didn't bring it up for you. So as soon as that becomes available again, I'll let you know. I actually sent a email to the rep saying, hey, what's the deal? Is it up or down? Also, Trucker Tom, many of you know Tom Wiles. He's been writing periodically on Geekness Central. He talked about an unplanned upgrade on a tablet that he had. So he goes through that, talk about the Note 5 specifically. And his experience with that. So a real world review just because he had to do an upgrade. In New York City, apparently there's some subway routes that have some aging infrastructure. Specifically, New York City's lines connecting Brooklyn. And Jeff, one of our team members, lives in Brooklyn and commutes into Manhattan every day, Monday through Friday. And it's kind of like this Armageddon thing. They're talking about an 18-month closure, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they basically had a hack weekend to try to kind of hash out some ideas. Some people came up with some fantastical ideas, but the one that probably sticks the most is they're probably just going to have to use ferries, lots of them, to be able to shuffle people between Manhattan and, between Brooklyn and Manhattan during the 18 months or so that they are going to be having to shut the subway line down. I don't know when that's going to happen, but Washington, D.C. is also facing some of these type of things as well, or some of these tests or some, you know, some repairs. Infrastructure's getting old, and it has to be maintained, or it won't last for the next generation. Over on Sploid, the South Koreans did a rocket test. And if you want to test your speakers, you can do so on a video that they have put up. It's about a 3-minute run, and you'll be able to tell how the bass and treble in your speakers work. I don't recommend it. About 2 minutes into it, it's not too bad. It kind of evens out. But anyway, if you like seeing rockets fire, link will be up in the show notes. If you are not already turning off Flash, and you're still using Flash, Adobe has released an update for Flash that addresses 36 vulnerabilities. The update includes a fix for the CVE-2016-4171 remote code execution vulnerability that is right now being exploited in the wild to install malware on victims' computers. So Adobe is recommending that users running Flash for Windows, Mac OS, Linux, Chrome OS update the plugin as quickly as possible, giving the update the priority one ranking and designation reserved for flaws, according to Adobe, being targeted or which may have a higher risk of being targeted. If you still have Flash, which many of you, I'm sure, probably still do, get it updated immediately, please, while you're out searching the internet, all right? So you don't get exploited. Those of you that use the Opera browser, they've added native ad blocking on all mobile platforms now. So, you know, the desktops had it for a while, but if you're using Opera on Android, they've just, and iOS, it is available on those two platforms now as well. So you're 100% covered with ad blocking on those devices. Lots of news today in specific area talking about Wi-Fi connection. And I was just talking about Wi-Fi connections with my Mac Pro. But two companies, and I'm going to talk about one now and one near the end of the article, they're coming out with some extenders. And these are unique extenders. They kind of do a dual purpose. Now, many of you are probably aware of power line plugs, where you basically plug in you run a wire to a device, plugs into an outlet, and then somewhere else in your house, you put another of these outlets in, and then you can plug a LAN cable into it. That's power line. And it works relatively okay. It's not super fast, but it'll give someone in the house that's maybe outside the Wi-Fi zone access and be able to run. What made me curious was because I'm trying to figure out, okay, if I can't get this Wi-Fi issue working for my son, I was thinking, do I need to run power lines, which I have some here, or do I need to look for a different solution? So these plug-in pods that's coming out by Eero, E-E-R-O, is kind of unique in that it acts like a power line, but then the Eero device is actually a Wi-Fi platform. So you can connect to it via Wi-Fi. And still, basically, it kind of eliminates some of those things that happens with extenders that get kind of flaky from time to time. So you go back to the router via power line, but if you need to, the Eero plug and pod also has a network jack on it, so that it would be perfect because I'm already running an extender in one part of my house. My son uses this laptop. So it makes a lot of sense for me to maybe look at this, and the price isn't too bad. But again, each pod has an Ethernet port along with a Wi-Fi. But it's it's truly designed for Wi-Fi use. But the company's taking orders now, pre-orders, $39 a pod, promising shipping in fall of 2016, which will at that time cost you $49. And there's another unit I'll talk about at the end of the show that's coming out that's a little more expensive, that might be a little more robust, but will be available around the same time. All right, speaking of more Father's Day goodies, ladies, moms that are looking, or kids looking for something for dad, there is a cool kit by Black & Decker. It's a 6-in-1 deal. The Matrix 6 tool combo kit is a single 20-volt handheld tool with 6 different attachments, giving you a drill, a sander, a jigsaw, an oscillating tool, a router, and an impact driver all in one package. Now, if you're like me, I like saving space. So, and this is $150. And this is a gold box deal, and you have to hurry because it's only available for a short time, okay? If you're listening to this 2 or 3 days from now, and today is Thursday, you're probably going to be too late. You probably won't get it for Father's Day in time, but at least you can give the hubby a picture of it. But 6-in-1 deal. I like saving space. I don't need a full-size router. I don't need a full-size jigsaw. You know, all this stuff, but very, very cool. Available online. So I have the link up for you. And this is over at deals.kinja.com. All right. Everyone's getting in the self-driving vehicle business. IBM as well. They're coming up with a bus. It's called Ollie. And at some point in the future, Ollie is going to be like a transit system in cities. It's a 12-passenger vehicle. And they're going to be testing this in a variety of different places. Initially in amusement parks, that type of situation. But this could potentially be mass transit. In the future, I could see this little mass transit coming to small neighborhoods, getting into places that big buses can't. So lots of cool things that can be done when you don't have to pay someone to drive. Do you know that there's still ninjas? Yes, there are still ninjas. And you think in Japan? Oh, no, 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 no. There are some serious ninjas that are out there. I've got a video that you need to watch. Oh, come on. Load, 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 load. Why did it load? All right. You got to bear with me here because there's 3 guys doing tricks on. Okay. Let me just forewarn you. These guys are the ultimate pole dancers. there may be some ladies that will want to try some of these tricks. But these guys are definitely ninjas. And some of the stuff they're doing on this outdoor pole makes you go, huh. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. It is pretty awesome. I don't know how they keep from falling through skylights on this. Couple articles on Computer World today talking about some stuff that's being done in the security space right now. Specifically, hacking companies that are security companies are starting to now employ people that can speak foreign languages, and they're hanging out in Russian, Chinese, a variety of different chat rooms overseas where people are talking about day one hacks and that type of stuff. And what they're finding in the online chatter is that within 24 to 48 hours of the initial public disclosure of something, they're talking about how they're exploiting and getting into systems. Or if someone has a day one, these folks like to brag and they like to talk about their prowess and what they have found. So there's a lot of companies now that are starting to subscribe and get infiltrated into these mailing lists and into these discussion areas, these chat rooms. To base better be able to come back to their employer and say, hey, we need to look for this, this, and this. So there's basically active intelligence now being impacted on these hacking groups. So it just makes you wonder if articles like this would not make some of those groups start to go underground a little bit more. All right, Visa. We all know that there has been this, you know, many of these chip readers in stores still don't work. But Visa has moved to streamline chip card processing certifications. There's been a huge outcry because companies can't get certified and they're liable for illegal charges and so forth. But and these companies are mad because they can't get their system certified, especially PIN usage and everything else that was supposed to come along with the chip cards. So Visa's trying to speed the process up here. I'm sure they're trying to prevent more lawsuits because they really did not have a good game plan in being able to turn all merchants on across the United States. We've talked about this in the past on the show. And if you go into a vendor and they're not making you use your chip card and you still can swipe, they're probably one of the companies or one of the groups, small business owners, that are behind in being able to get chip card readers enabled within their businesses and their banks. I never thought about this, but this next topic is an interesting one and one that I'm not sure how I feel on. Let me take a shot of H2O here. But the court, U.S. courts are saying that free speech rights for prisoners is not clearly established. And it has, in a recent ruling, give pass to retaliatory actions by officials. So, an appeals court decision finding of a federal prisoner's rights, basically, they said were not violated when this individual was removed from a halfway house and placed in solitary confinement in retaliation for publishing an article about his prison experience. So, let me read this to you. Daniel McGowan, an environmental activist whose prosecution for eco-terrorism was the subject of an award-winning film, was finishing his seven-year term at a Brooklyn halfway house when he wrote a Huffington Post blog post that contained details about a secretive prison where he had spent years in isolation. There was nothing particularly revealing about what he wrote. Much of it had been made public in an ongoing civil rights lawsuit he and other low-risk prisoners had filed in federal court in Washington, challenging their placement there for no other reason than their political views or who they are. And they're talking, I think what they're talking about is these federal super prisons. I mean, these are like the worst of the worst. And the people never, like, you go in there and you like never see a human being again. It's that type of a situation. You'll see maybe the guards and stuff, but that's any interaction you have with someone else. So there's a number of these super prisons out there. But when he wrote this article from the Huffington Post, his residential reentry manager at the New York Residential Reentry Management Office of the Bureau of Prisons determined that he should be issued an incident report and remanded to a federal detention center. And he actually got sent back to jail over a statute that had already been essentially eliminated. So he sued the federal government on this, and long terms, you know, in this ruling today, he lost. Now, here's the question that I really didn't understand. You get prosecuted for, you're found guilty for a crime, you go to prison. I would think that you would still be able to say, from a First Amendment right, what the heck you wanted to say. I don't see how a court could stop an inmate from expressing his opinion. I just don't see how that's even possible. Now, this also has something to do with writing with a byline. At least that's what the original code called out, that it hasn't been in use since 2004 or something like that. Oh, the problem with citing a skyline is the Bureau of Prisons had rescinded that particular rule that he was sent back to prison in 2010, and where they had found that the ruling was, or this rule was unconstitutional. But it still brings up the question, how can you stifle a prisoner's First Amendment rights, his free speech rights? Now, it may be hard for him to, well, they can call collect on a telephone and talk about stuff, right? They can write letters. They may not have access to the internet, but they're not completely cut off from the world. Unless it's like this guy was at the super prison, he may have been. But it is a little bit concerning, at least to me, that someone would be constrained from being able to share his opinion, whether it be right or wrong, no matter if they're locked up or not. we understand that they have not as many freedoms. You know, it's obviously your life is controlled 24/7, but I don't know how they can control someone's mouth. I really don't. Wouldn't that be interesting? A podcast coming from inside someone that was serving time. So what do you think on that? Geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your comments. Hey, Lucasfilms is opening a secret lab with Magic Leap. It's basically a VR facility. And doing augmented reality stuff. So we'll see what they're able to come up with. But apparently this was exciting news in the movie business. If you get to Japan, specifically Kyoto, you definitely want to go to the Shinkansen Museum. I don't know about you, but I've always loved going to museums where there was trains. And the folks from the Roadshow over at CNET wrote up a great article and had some great pictures. You'll be able to see the 50-some-year history, history from 1880, trains from the 1880s forward that make up the Kyoto Railway Museum. So very, very cool stuff here. Bullet trains and the whole nine yards. So if any of you in the audience get to Kyoto, that's something maybe to add to your bucket list. When we were able to bring Mike Dell on full-time as a full-time support person at Blueberry, it really was a great moment for us. And he's been on full-time now, I think going on close to 2 months. And being able to open up phone support and a number of things that we were able to do with Mike being basically available 9 to 5 Eastern. And Mike really is the core, and of course Sean Thorpe as well is part of our core support team. I just was lucky because, you know, Mike came from outside. He was a fan of PowerPress. He a fan of the company, and you know, we brought him on as a contractor initially. But I read this article in Computer World talking about help desk jobs are going unfilled now because what's being asked of people in help desk are starting to increase and basically almost become IT jobs. Now, what we've given Mike as a role at the company is complete control take care of our customers and support, and he helps with documentation, some things like that, but we're not making him do the, like, working on servers and stuff. But it appears that in Q1, a lot of the folks, these desk jobs that were going for help desk folks were required to have IT skills. And that's, you know, normally a person would grow into that role. So they come in as a help desk person, they learn the front end, the software front end, and then maybe they get into the back end stuff. You'd think someone would grow into that role, not necessarily hire to do that role initially, but more and more people are being hired that way on the help side, which is good because, I mean, salaries go up for those folks. They're more talented, able to demand a higher salary rate. Hey, Chattanooga Mayor says that the city's gigabit network, which Comcast tried to kill, remember we've talked about this many times, this gigabit network is to thank for his city's revival. And I've told you folks, if I move back to the mainland, the lower 48, you know, I'm going to be going to a city or to an area that has, you know, the fastest internet possible, because that's what we live and breathe on today. That's what businesses are thriving. And he's basically said they did this, and their downtown area is becoming a hub for startups and new businesses. The ability for people to have high-speed internet and do stuff where they want in areas where it's cheaper to live and not have to live in Silicon Valley is going to be... I don't know why why not cities are not embracing this more. You know, if, you know, like where I grew up in the town of Coldwater, which is about 13 miles from where in my house in the country, you know, they have high speed internet there. They don't have fiber yet, but if they did, they could advertise that and it could be an economic boom for communities. You know, relatively inexpensive investment to put in fiber backbone can have huge, huge growth potential for cities. So if you are involved in your town, if you live in a small city, you know, maybe this is something that you need to bring to your city council and say, what should we do? Should we do this? And it'll help revitalize our small cities. Living in, you know, the big cities is expensive and quite frankly sucks. Yeah, I would much rather live where there's no traffic and yet can come in and do high tech stuff. It's awesome. Sadly, the House of Representatives voted Thursday to block an amendment that would have prevented the government from stepping into force weakened encryption. So let me say that again. The House of Representatives voted Thursday to block an amendment that would have prevented the government from stepping into force weakened encryption. So in essence, they're still leaving the door open for the government to have the ability to access phones and that type of stuff. They don't want this encryption to be so high that you and I have access to. I don't think they have much choice in it when it comes to Apple and some of these other companies and the way they're going. They're locking stuff down even more. But again, House votes down privacy measure, but they are blocking back doors. So support for the provision dwindled in the wake of the Orlando shootings. You will have to chuckle at this. Thousands of porn bots have started filing Twitter profiles of sympathetic to so-called ISIS leaders. And these bots are communicating and providing pictures and all kinds of things to those ISIS Twitter accounts. So you have to kind of chuckle on that one a little bit. Hey, Microsoft is working on software for the legal marijuana industry. Yes. Microsoft's next bet is the weed business. The company announced today that it will partner with LA-based marijuana startup on a system for tracking legal growing and sale of weed. So according to a statement issued, they're going to be working on through the Azure cloud computing system. The goal of the relationship is to leverage each company's resource to provide state, county, and municipalities with a purpose-built solution for track and trace seed to sale in the cannabis industry. Seed to sale. Isn't that interesting? That's a term that definitely an agriculture term. Ladies and fathers and husbands, Zika. Three babies have been born in the United States with Zika virus-related birth defects, according to figures released today by the CDC. The report noted an additional 3 pregnancies losses with birth defects in Zika-infected mothers. Scary stuff. Do they say what city or state this comes in? Yeah, did not make clear whether the 3 pregnancy losses women infected with Zika were voluntary terminations or miscarriages. So, as you're out there, especially those of you in the South, the Southern states, border states, please, 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 you know, It's time to protect yourselves, you know, mosquito repellent and those types of measures, you know, and avoiding mosquitoes, you know, prone areas. We just don't need any folks getting infected with this. It's just scary, scary stuff. All right, there's a dude that all I can say is sometimes you just have to go, and wonder, was this person really that stupid? There's a guy that vaped the world's hottest chili pepper. Now, I don't normally give judgment on people, but in this instance, I have to. You see this dude sitting at a table, and he's talking about these chili peppers. And I guess he does this all the time with different types of chili pepper, but he says, I got a triple header for you folks. So he did 2 huge, huge vapes, sucking in this jalapeno ungodly concoction that registered at 2.2 million Scoville units. And Then he stuck some of the juice in his eye, and then he snorted some, you know, a piece of this chili pepper. All I can say is, idiot, 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 idiot. He had to stop the video. He comes back like 20 minutes later, and you know, I don't know how this guy didn't stroke out or, you know, I mean, he was serious. He took a huge puff on this thing. And when you watch the video, you're just going to shake your head. But it's, you know, a stupid thing people do. It's just shocking to me sometimes, the stuff people do. And do you have a cable modem still? Are you paying the cable company for that cable? I'm talking about your internet modem, not your cable box. But the cable modem that you are you still paying for that? Linksys has three new ones, and they're supporting speeds up to 960 megabits per second. Price from $59 to $129, and based on your rental costs, I can guarantee if you buy one of these, you'll pay it off in 5 or 6 months. You know, turn in that cable modem and buy, you know, one of these Linksys or competing products. Motorola has them too. And get it switched out with your cable provider so you don't have to pay that fee. A physicist from the University of Miami has created a logarithm that can scan the Islamic State social media posts and may eventually be used to predict the group's next terrorist attack. In the journal Science Today, Dr. Neil Johnson and his team described their method of searching through roughly a year's worth of posts on Russia-based social network Vontrakka, looking for pro-ISIS statements in multiple languages. The resulting data allowed Johnson's team to build out a statistical model aimed at identifying behavioral patterns among online supporters of ISIS. So they're really trying to use this social stuff that they're all over and trying to determine where they're going to strike next. So I wish them the best of luck. Twitter today is taking on Facebook Live, an update to the Twitter app makes it easier to stream live video, but there's a catch. The features built into the status update, but you quickly learn that you have to use Periscope app to actually stream into Twitter, which is a little weird. But you can stream to Twitter via Periscope. Seems like kind of defeats a purpose. Hey, Google has added quick and useful home screen shortcuts to Now on Tap. For those of you who don't know what Now on Tap is, as I said, I've been reviewing a number of phones from... I've got it. Okay. And you can basically turn the phones on just by touching the front of the phone. And you can now they're basically adding some shortcuts that you can use, like two fingers, or you can swipe a certain way, and certain actions happen when you do that. So the Now on Tap feature may be becoming more useful. The DMCA has won a big one. The DMCA has won big and record label lawsuit against Vimeo. A federal court ruled Thursday that ISPs such as video sharing sites like Vimeo are protected by the DMCA for pre-1972 musical recordings uploaded by their users. So that's interesting. So anyway, big win. I'll have that link in the show notes. And finally, I did talk about earlier in the show about these home Wi-Fi type of offerings that are coming out. There's a new one called Luma. For $400, you can quote unquote buy the perfect Wi-Fi. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. $400 seems a lot for a router. It really, really does. But I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Finally, those of you that are Pokemon fans, you can now turn your smartphone into a game that you may have played as a boy or young man. So basically it's a Pokemon controller for your iPhone. So anyway, that is coming. That was announced at E3. And that's all I'm going to talk about E3 because I didn't show it to you guys. Because I'm not a gamer. All right, let's see what it is. Was there excuse me. See what came in from email. We're already just about out of time. So let me bring this up. Let me flip that back. And those of you on YouTube, thanks for hanging tonight. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so got an email from Michael. He said, hey, Todd, there's a nasty spoofing. Oh, I think I already talked about this on the last show. Yeah, so no email. That's sad. All right, geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your comments on today's show. And I know it's late for any of you that are watching on YouTube live stream or on Facebook, but thanks for hanging out with me. And for those of you that are checking out the show on demand, thanks for staying subscribed. Thank you so much for your ongoing support of GoDaddy. It is greatly appreciated. It really, really is. I was checking June numbers, and we're on track for a good June month as well. So, again, thank you for all your support. But I'm going to wrap this up at this point. You can drop me an email here, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at geeknews. Or you can just look me up on Facebook by searching for Todd Cochran. Follow me there, and I'll follow you back. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast.